Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to a special presentation of Cowboy State Politics. The following program was recorded on Monday evening at the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County's Patriot Potluck, featuring Dr. Taylor Haynes. I'll play it for you in its entirety, but first, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden, or you're one of these redcoats in Wyoming, and you don't know anything, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing all along, but didn't. Just about every week, the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County host what they call a Patriot Potluck. It's where all the members just get together and we have a meal and usually invite a guest speaker. And this past Monday, that guest was Dr. Taylor Haynes. Here's what the good doctor had to talk about. That first conversation ran the gamut of what it was like for him to be a doctor in Cheyenne, Wyoming 35 years ago. You might ask him about that. What it was like growing up during the Civil Rights Movement in Louisiana. Might want to ask him about that. But Taylor, he was a doctor in Cheyenne, as I mentioned. He was on the Board of Trustees for the University of Wyoming. And at one time, he was the head of the Wyoming Stock Growers Association. So he's had quite a bit of experience. So please give him a warm round of applause.
Wow, who is that gal? One correction. I was a regional director in Wyoming Stock Growers in line to be president, but I left the outfit and started Independent Cattlemen of Wyoming. That's a whole nother story. We can talk about it after if anybody wants to hang around. So Wyoming is, and I'll have to say from my experience, is the last great place. And it's the hand of God that brought me to Wyoming, because I'm not smart enough to have come here on my own. But I'd only met people from Wyoming that I liked. I'd not met anybody that I didn't like. And I realized there must be somebody up there that's nuts. But really, common sense and community spirit here outweighed anything else I'd run into. Now, I liked and, in fact, loved living in Salt Lake City, Utah. But it's huge. It is now a real metropolitan place, and it was by the time I left 35 years ago, growing like a weed. And I realized that, and my boyhood dream was to also have a ranch and to be in the mountains. Working in Salt Lake, And at that time, as a trainee, I realized you're going to have to go 50, 60 miles at least. And so you can't do that in practice medicine. Well, in Cheyenne, my ranch was 15 miles from town on the pavement, so no big deal. The first red light was in town at the hospital, so it worked out really good. I was asked at the table, and it's a great question, why did I get into politics? I was minding my own business, had a great career, my boyhood dream being realized, so what the hell got into me? I'll tell you. First of all, Bill Clinton and Bruce Babbitt started it. You got your first ranch. You're from Louisiana, so you don't know jack about water rights, you don't know jack about Forest Service and BLM. But you get this ranch and it's got senior water rights and you study up on that, and pretty soon the weather lets you know how important that is. And then your Forest Service lease is really not a lease. We are actually allotment owners. We're not lessees. The fee we pay is a management fee. Fine. It's been set up that way for years. Let's just roll with it, right? It's working, leave it alone. Well, these guys came talking about us abusing the range. You can't abuse this range. Well, you can for about three seasons, and then you're out of business because it ain't producing nothing. And I knew that was a lie. And then this whole water thing got me going. I had a real good or bad experience in college being an engineering student, wound up taking a senior level American government class for pre-law students. But that's another story. You don't need to hear all that stuff. They had to hear it. But I found out that Bruce Babbitt said in his writings in the National Law Review that the best use for agriculture water is to take it downstream for residential and recreational development. And the proof that I had for that, you know, when you're a physician, you get invited to seminars all over the country. and you get this really beautiful brochure from Phoenix. And they had a lake. They had a lake with as much surface sailing area as Chesapeake Bay. What? In Phoenix, Arizona. Where the hell did they get that water? Us! So I started pushing back on that, and somebody from Babbitt's group threatened me, which really made me push back. And the rest of the West was pushing back, so that went away. And then ranching, being active in ranching organizations, I can see the Forest Service and the BLM running ranchers out of business, breaking them in court with little infractions that really weren't infractions. And so, hearkening back to this American government class that I had to take, which wound up teaching me Supreme Court case law and how to research case law and how it works, how the courts work, and so forth, I realized, pulling my old constitution out, that the federal government only owns and is sovereign in 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. There are no federal lands in Wyoming except Francis E. Warren Air Force Base, period. Now, if they federalize the guard, they can argue that they have part ownership of the guard bases, but they don't own this mountain up here, guys. The county's own it. We own it. Okay? When I said that, it scared people to death. You're crazy. You're going to start a revolution. Maybe at the ballot box. By now, you know I'm not going to be in the streets raising hell and throwing rocks. That's not what we do. We do what you guys did here over that damn tax bill. We get the proper information to the people, and the people will make the right decision. I believe that to the bottom of my heart. So I got in politics in a way for self-defense. If I could have saved our state, we wouldn't care as much about 30 by 30 except for our sister states. But your governor says it's a good first step. To what? And then they want 50% by 2050. To giving up our land? They say that by 2030 we won't own anything and we'll be happy. If I'm home with the Lord. And I mean that. That's a hill to die on. And I mean that. So that's why I got into politics. But the things I've seen, let's take the pandemic. I don't like how it was handled, we'll say. So they roll out a vaccine, and now they want to make you take it. My position is that's a personal medical decision. If I'm in the chair down there in Cheyenne, I make sure that every bit of reasonable information is available. And then I trust the people and their physicians to make the right choice. I'm not saying don't get the shot. I'm not saying don't take an alternative treatment. I'm saying you need to know about all of that so you can make your decision. And it would be my job to be sure the information we put up on this website is accurate. And you can do that. It's the best information known. And then you guys decide. That's how this should be. With these taxes, tax and tax and tax, I think we have, and I'm guilty of it too many services. I rolled up here on an interstate that is just phenomenal. But I have a t-shirt to say, a paved road is another example of useless government spending. Now, my wife says common sense is somewhere in between there. So she doesn't necessarily go that far. But my point is, the services that we want to pay taxes for, the people should decide on. Here's what we want the government to do, and we're willing to pay for it. Not, I'm going to make your lives better. What? How do you know what I think better is? How do I know what she thinks better is? So if I think better is everybody's got to be a mechanical engineer and then be a physician, I need help, don't I? We need to have a talk. So, you know, that's why I got into politics. And I'm very concerned about our country based on I'm going to just say it, the fact that the presidential election was stolen. My concern about that is I'm really wanting to see more reforms get passed, like Arizona is well on the way. Georgia got started. I don't know what happened to that, but they need that in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. Without that, we'll never win another election.
Yeah.
And that's why the communists are so bold. Do we have honest elections in Wyoming?
No.
We don't know. I'll tell you what we do know, and I just found this out. They go on and on and on about our voting machines are not online, so they can't be hacked. They didn't hack the Pentagon. They didn't hack anything. But here's where we are vulnerable. So even if that voting machine can't be hacked from anywhere, and I don't know that I believe that, once they compile the data, they put it into another ES&S machine to upload it to the Secretary of State's office. That machine can be hacked, and there are people that approve that, can be manipulated. So my country boy solution would be, we're small enough. We could go back to a paper ballot with poll workers and poll watchers watching poll workers count the ballot. Now, that's a lot of work and a lot of volunteers. I think we don't have to do that for one or maybe two elections. And then the people in office would look more like the people sitting around here. As I ran for office and as I've lobbied the legislature, I've been amazed that the people I talk to in my town halls and around the state, I don't really see that in the legislature. I see a few, but I don't see the majority of the legislature looking like the majority of the Wyoming population. And I don't mean groupthink. I mean free thinking, constitutional minded, mostly God-fearing people. And I have to say God-fearing because this is one nation under God. And without Almighty God, we would be speaking German because we never would have won the Revolutionary War. And there's no way in hell the British were going to defeat Hitler. Because they were mired down then and what we're mired down here now. With politically correct, you can't say this, you can't be really harsh on people. And Hitler obviously didn't have that point of view. And so we'd be speaking German or Russian because they got their lunch eaten at the gates of Moscow by the winter. So there would have been a different world, but by the grace of God, 30% of these ragtag farmers and merchants defeated the greatest military power on the planet. So I can't move away from that. I would rather now have questions, and the only rules about the questions is there are no holes barred. You won't embarrass me, and you won't make me angry. Anything, anybody?
Yes. So the fake news, touting all along that the election was not stolen, it was totally legit, everything was correct, and there was no crimes committed. And if that's so, how come 47 out of the 50 states are enacting legislation to fix their election processes? How can the Democrats keep touting that there was nothing wrong, and yet 47 states fixed it?
Well, they're stuck. There's another problem. People don't like to be proved wrong. And sometimes they will die to prove that they're right, even though they know that there's a problem. Well, I know 47 states are trying, but if they don't get it done, we got a problem. We got a real problem. How many of you think that to have an ID to vote is racist?
It was awesome when we went to vote for the 1% deal and you had to have voter ID. Now, I went there not knowing that you had to have an ID. I got off work, went, walked in. Everybody knows me. They've known me for 30 years. They said, no, we need an ID from you. I had to go home, get my ID, switch vehicles, get my ID, and go back. I so totally support it.
Of course.
100%.
What else can you do that's really meaningful financially or even in society without an ID?
Walk across the southern border.
Exactly.
And you can also travel anywhere in the country after you've tested positive with COVID without a vaccine or a vaccine passport. Isn't that interesting?
Will it stay that way, though?
As long as they vote them.
It will stay that way if we don't have the voting fixed to the point we can have a free and fair election in 22. And we're excited about 22 because the Democrats have made such a mess of things. This thing in Afghanistan is a very, very dangerous thing that's happened for the whole world. Our southern borders are open. We've demonstrated to China that they can take Taiwan if they want it. And if that happens, it's game over for the rest of the world. I don't see, even in the generals, the mettle to stand up and defend Taiwan. Boy, wouldn't I like to be wrong about that? Because if that doesn't happen, it's all over. Yes, sir.
So, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to give a little background. I've written 3 or 4 times now to our senators asking them, this is kind of old news to a lot of people, what, if anything, they thought should be done if it were proven that there was fraud and corruption in the election. And, of course, I've never heard anything back. But we are talking about, we keep talking about 2022. Afghanistan, I don't speak public, but Afghanistan is a perfect example of a, and maybe it is the final, I mean, maybe the world won't be able to recover from Joe Biden's Afghanistan. Maybe they won't. But even if it's not just Afghanistan, it's Afghanistan's southern border, it's Afghanistan, the COVID, the vaccine passports, it's Afghanistan, this march down the communism road. I personally do not think that we can survive if we wait until 2022 to make a difference. I don't know what the answer is. I heard you saying a lot of people are wanting to know what to do. You can count me as one of them. I don't, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but I fear that if we wait until 2022, all is lost.
Yes, sir.
I feel your pain. The problem is I don't have an answer that I can put on the ground. Clearly the answer is what happened in 1776. Yep. And they were expecting that, which is why they had the guard at the Capitol.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, do.
But it's why I believe that they now have the domestic terrorist list. And my concern is we've proven that there was election fraud. There's no question about that in anybody's mind. They can say, oh no, there's no evidence, but they just don't look, and they won't look. So if that's going to be the response, we're just not going to look, and then we'll say there is no evidence. If they're just going to say, you know, nothing to see here, and we keep trying to prove our point peacefully. And I'm not trying to say that I want to go start an armed revolution, but I don't know. I know personally, if they come to me and say, you have to have this vaccine, there might be a revolution, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Or you want my guns.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind them wanting my guns, because when they get them, I won't need them.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. Yes, sir.
I'd just like to start with an apology. I did not vote for you last time.
That's okay.
I've drilled more dry holes than you can shake a stick at in my life. Well, man, that may be the biggest mistake I ever made, was not voting for you last time.
Well, I appreciate that, you know, but I lost some friends because I wasn't crestfallen or angry. I just felt like if the Lord wanted me to be governor, I would have been. I think we did enough, but clearly we didn't, because I've met people who said, God, if I'd known about you at all, I would have voted for you. So that means I didn't get the message out. So I'm taking some of that on me.
Some of us were just not that bright.
Well, you know, it's very hard when somebody's position is different than anything you've been taught your whole life. And I had a lawyer argue with me that I couldn't do what I said I'm going to do. And he teaches at the University of Wyoming. I says, you are the reason we need to close the damn law school. Well, he says, go down to the county and see who owns the land. I says, you need to go down there and see who owns it. It won't be the federal government. It won't be the Forest Service. It won't be the BLM. It'll be the Johnson County. It'll be the private property owners in Johnson County. And the rest is undeclared. Well, so here we are now. And we're in a hell of a mess, not just in Wyoming, but in this republic. And to this gentleman's point, our choices are limited. I've been asked if I'd run again, but see, when you run three times, the establishment can use that. And so I was told my message was too academic. Well, I don't know what else to do but tell you the truth. The Constitution says I can take over management of all our land. Well, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to hold it in trust and perpetuity so the people can benefit from the mineral wealth that's there, which is why God put it there. But it's for the people of Wyoming. We'll lose our federal funds. Our federal funds are our part of our mineral money that they take carpetbagging and drizzle it back to us.
Give me back finish.
There you go. Drizzle it back to us. Here's what you do now. Toodaloo. And now they want all the land. Stop. So I'm at that point of what am I going to do? Just things like this to speak out to people. But to your answer, your question, is the answer an armed insurrection? Or is the answer enough governors standing up and saying, no more. We're going to enforce the Constitution. Period. See, that's the real answer. Now, how do you get those governors? Well, elections. But if we wait to 2022, you're afraid that we're going to be totally communist and the government's going to have too much authority. How can we prevent that? Do not let them disarm us. Now, that's harder. But that's harder than me just saying that. They're not going to come to your door and ask you for your guns. They're going to put out this, we want to buy back your guns, and we're going to pay you twice what they're worth, or something like that, what they did in Australia. And so some people just give in to that, to hell with it, I don't need this gun anyway. Then they'll look and say, oh God, Taylor, we don't see your name on the list that's turning in anything. Do you know, Taylor, there was a mistake on your property taxes? Mm. Yeah. You're 5 years in arrears. So I'll tell you what, it was our mistake, but you owe that money. We'll forgive that if you just understand you need to give us your guns. Now Taylor's got a decision to make. And I already told you what it's going to be. But you see, that's individual Taylor. Now, if it's 30 or 40% of the population, that won't fly. So we need to get everybody we know in the mindset that when they start that, we're going to stand together. We're not giving up our guns, and you're not taking my property or my neighbor's property with some bogus thing about me being arrears on my property taxes.
What if, and this is what I think is going to be, what if they come out with this vaccine mandate? Simple thing, if you don't get the vaccine, you're obviously a domestic terrorist. Oh, we already have a list for people like you. Then, all these people that are driving down the road by themselves at 80 miles an hour with their mask on, every single one of them is going, yeah, that guy's a domestic terrorist. And, oh, well, here's an anonymous tip line. If you know somebody who hasn't had the vaccine and who is rightfully should be on that domestic terrorist list, call us and let us know who it is. So pretty soon you have the health department or whatever, so we understand you haven't had a vaccine. And we'd like to help you out with that right now. And if you tell them no, sooner or later, the sheriff shows up with them. Hopefully not our sheriff, but who knows. But there will be some law enforcement agency that shows up with them. I think that the vaccine mandate and the domestic terrorists is how they're going to come after our guests.
And I wouldn't say you're wrong, because they're going to have some way to do just what you're saying. They've already divided us. Those people running around in a mask, which is only making them sick, not making them healthy, can only make you sick. And the CDC did a study like that they published in July 2020 that showed there were more people with COVID who wore the mask all the time or almost all the time than people with COVID who never wore the mask. The mask group had a higher incidence. So what we have to do is communicate with each other. I got a call from the health department. They're upset about my vaccine status. That should go through this whole group and every patriot you know. And so you keep them. Well, they're coming to my house tomorrow. And everybody needs to be in the yard.
Yes, sir.
And you need to be ready to dance.
That is exactly what
you need to be ready to dance. And the reason I'm saying, sounds like I'm talking tough. I may be talking tough, but I'm still right.
That's right.
And so that's when you find out who is willing to stand up. I had a bad temper when I was a kid. I still have it, but I kind of got a rein on it. And my dad said, boy, you had better find out what's important enough to you to die for. Because the way you react and the way you come off, at some point somebody's going to kill you. So you need to know what you will die for. And when I said that's a hill to die on, that's the hill to die on. Because see, at some point we're going to meet the Lord. And if you're not on the right side, then you're on the wrong side forever. And so they can only kill me once, but they can't send me to hell. I'm going to die standing up. I'm not going to live on my knees. To Biden, to Gordon, to the county health department? No, I'm going to die standing up. Yeah.
In our house, we always say the Lord is not a theory in his hands.
That's right.
He knows what's going to happen. But I think, to his point, I think there are more of us than them. And yes. We need to start acting like it.
Yeah.
That's right.
70% of this county defeated that task.
72.
And if the other 40% had voted, it would have been 90-10. I mean, it's just...
See, and that's...
We cannot forget that the Lord is in charge. And we need to bring our neighbors to church.
Bring our neighbors to church, but we need to communicate with our neighbors so that when and if that time comes, those that would stand are ready to stand, and that would be enough because there are more of us than there are of them, and the Lord is with us. I like...
My daughter always says, Mom, act like you've been there before.
Yeah, my...
And I love that.
That's right. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Jonathan, son of Saul. The Lord told him to get those Philistines. He didn't say, Lord, there's too many. He said, well, I need a sign if I should take them down here or up on the hill. And away he went. And the faith David showed when he dropped Goliath. Are you kidding me? This little 12, 14-year-old punk come to get me and I'm 10 feet tall. He can't even lift my spear. Whop! So you trust the Lord. Now, we're not looking to hurt anyone.
Exactly.
And everything I'm encouraging you to do is to be defensive. But one person in your community standing up isn't being defensive, it's just suicide. But they'll probably stand up and they'll be made an example of to scare the hell out of the rest of us. But if you're communicating and there's a turnout in that front yard, now they got another decision to make.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to shoot anybody. I was asked once if I was going to shoot an IRS agent. No, I'm going to see him in court. I don't want to shoot anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to be what Americans want, left alone, to raise my family, worship my God, and have my life. Now, if you don't afford me that, I have some very hard decisions to make. You can't make it at that time. Your mind and your heart have to be made up in these times. When you can go home and reflect on what we've shared, where do I really stand? They're in my yard. Wanting to give me a shot, I want to take my guns. What am I going to do? Well, you're at that point. Obviously, you worry about taking a life. But the scriptures say, don't stand idly by while your neighbor's life is in jeopardy. Well, of course, that includes your life. And so at that point, when they're in your yard, you're the only one that can't come to your senses and leave. You have to defend your home. Those are the things that got me into politics. I wanted to avoid that. See, there was a time in my life when I wasn't totally free. I grew up in the Jim Crow South before civil rights. And I was also not nonviolent. So they didn't invite me to go a lot of places on rallies. I had other duties to support. But you sick a dog on me, I'm gonna kill the dog. And maybe you better run. Well, that's not how you have a nonviolent protest. Martin Luther King came along and showed us the right way. What else did we see? The white people in this country found out what was going on and told their congressional representations, you fix that. And they did. And I have every opportunity that every other person has, and that's America. So I've seen how this works, and now they want Jim Crow for everybody. I ain't going back, baby. I ain't going back.
Taylor, kind of on the same subject, but the first time I talked to you, I asked you what it was like to be a black doctor in Cheyenne, Wyoming, 30 years ago, and you told me a story about what it was like, and I was wondering if you would just tell everybody here that same story.
Sure. I was recruited to Cheyenne from the University of Utah. One of my best friends in med school is from Cheyenne. Their urologist was retired. And so I told my late wife, I wouldn't go over there and live in Wyoming if they gave it to me. She said, what? You've never been to Cheyenne. What are you talking about? You loved it in Cody. Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? They were great to me. So we went to Cheyenne, and I hung out a shingle. About 6 months in my practice, clearly, most of the folks there could tell I'm black. Maybe some of you can. I better not rock that. But, so I hang out a shingle and... yeah. And so they showed up in my practice and it was a success. And then about 6 months in a snowy night, I get a call from the newborn intensive care unit. A little girl was born with serious kidney issues. So I go boiling in there and I examine her. But her lungs weren't mature enough for surgery. And so we worked out a plan because a newborn's lungs mature on a continuous basis overnight. So about 8 or 9 in the morning, she was ready for surgery. And her mom's a newborn ICU nurse, and her dad, I don't know where he worked, but he was there. And I sat and explained the surgery to him. And they put this baby in my hands to operate on. And her mom said, God, we don't have to go to Denver. The baby and the doctor are here every day where we can know what's going on. That's all they cared about. Yeah. I could have been spotted. This guy can take care of my child. That's what we want. And see, that's Wyoming. And that kind of thing happened to me when I was running the ER at the University of Utah. I'm old enough that we didn't have ER specialty doctors. So the general surgery residents ran the emergency room. And on your off day, you flew air transport for critically ill patients. Flew to Cody to get a patient. I had a nurse and a senior med student with me. We got him ready to transport back to university, get to the airport, and we blow up an engine on taxi. So, yeah, I mean, another 10 seconds and it would have been all over. I wouldn't be standing here. So I get back and I call West Park Hospital, tell them we're coming back to the hospital. This guy in a baseball cap and a t-shirt, and it's winter, walks up and says, Doc, I got a little airplane. Is there anything you need that they might not have here? He says, yeah, I need 6 units of O negative blood, and I wrote him a prescription, and he took it, and off he went, and I thought, yeah, right. I get back to the hospital, and now I got to take care of this guy. We're not ready for transport. So I start doing the things I was going to do back at the university, and in a couple hours, here's the blood. It's here. And now he's a lot better. And so we're working on that, and then the phone rings, and the ICU people knew this person. Says, you probably want to talk to him. So I'm talking to this guy, and he is very soft-spoken. He says, Doc, I hear you guys broke your little airplane. Yeah, we did. He says, I got a little airplane down here at the airport. I think it'd get y'all on. How many people you got? And I told him, how much space you need? Yeah, he says, yeah, we can squeeze you in there. Get down to the airport, the guy's got a Lockheed Jetstar. And we put the patient in through the window. Turns out we put him in the bar, and I had well, that's because they had a couch, a lounge. So he's on the lounge, and I got a respirator and all this other stuff. And he says, calm down, Doc. People make a really good living keeping this nice. We're going to just take y'all home. You take care of George. And see, that's Wyoming, and he wouldn't let the university pay for that transport. And so that's the kind of thing that happened to me flying air transport in Wyoming. Now, I flew air transport to other places where they were nice and glad to see us, but nobody just stepped up without beating on their chest, took care of what we needed taken care of, and we damn sure needed the help, and by God, there it was. So that's really the other thing that helped me come to Wyoming, and I never looked back. But the people in Wyoming are more concerned with what you do than what you say you can do or who you are. What do you mean to the community? If you're a positive person in your community, you're in. And if you're not, we're small enough that we all know it. We all know it overnight. So that's the story he's talking about. So there's lots of those. And there are lots of those in my practice where people, I had patients from as far away as Alaska because of word of mouth referral from family and friends. That's the kind of place Wyoming is.
I don't have a question, but I wanted to talk about something that we've had conversations about. With this being a political action committee, we always, what we've been told is what you can do. But the reality is what our Constitution allows us is what we can do. Everyone wants to put up that wall. I have had this discussion. Would you maybe approach that a little bit more to let these folks know what they can do, not what they can't do?
Basically, The short statement is, if you're not violating somebody else's God-given rights, you can do whatever you want to do under the law. Obviously, you can't rob a liquor store, even though I really would like it. You can't do things like that. The Constitution purely limits what the government can do. It says the government can do these things and go no farther. The federal government has 18 or 19, depending on how you want to count them, enumerated powers, period. And they're running way outside of that. And the only way to stop that is for the state to say, okay, fine, enough. We're not going to go there. And what you'll hear right away, and you heard it during my campaigns, we'll lose our federal funds. The federal government won't let him do that. You never heard one federal authority say that I couldn't do what I was promising to do. They had to pitch fear. You can't run the state without us. You can't run the state without your federal funds. 500,000 people making a few billion dollars a year. I think we can figure it out. I really do think we can figure it out. And when I heard the podcast, when you guys were being presented with the information about the tax, I knew right there are people who understand what's going on. There are people who can figure out the state budget. And they're not in Cheyenne. They're in our communities. And so under the Constitution, you can do pretty much anything you want as far as civics, government, and that sort of thing.
So, if I understand you right, you're suggesting that it's the governors that can take the federal government back to their originally enumerated powers.
That's right, and it's their responsibility, but it's also the county commissioners can do it in their counties. Yeah. They can shut them down in their counties. The county commission is your basic political subdivision. And your sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in the county. If he's a constitutional sheriff, he's acting that way. But we don't have very many of those in Wyoming.
Nor do we have very many governors. My other point was, I don't think Mr. Gordon will be stepping up here for this, but going back to my belief that if we wait till 2022, it's too late. Is there a way to start with a few select governors that I don't know who they are, and like I said, I'm pretty doubtful that Mr. Gordon is, but and start down that road with the intention of gaining more governors in 2022 and have something in the works of taking back our federal government?
There are 15 governors who stood up and wrote Biden a letter telling them no 30-30, 30 by 30 in my state. That's the first start. And so that 15 governors should meet more together and pull together and act in concert on constitutional issues. And I think, I don't know that they're not talking, and I hope they are, but that's the start you're talking about. And so if you did that, yeah, you could start that. But see, I think, I think the western states are the key. Now, I'm not counting California, Oregon, and Washington. Probably not New Mexico and Nevada at first. Nevada would, but most of their votes are in two cities, Reno and Vegas. The rest of the state is just like us. But if the western states realized their wealth, when I was leading Mead for a little while, I got a call from a Utah legislator who said, if you win and keep your word, we're going to follow you. And I called him back. I says, well, I didn't win. Why don't you guys lead it? He says, You lived here 15 years. You know we can't lead something like that. It would be no problem for us to follow. I don't understand that. And I got similar calls from Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arizona.
Shoot, you live in Wyoming. We can't even follow. Let alone lead.
Right now. But Wyoming is uniquely positioned that if we decided to do it, they can't touch us. They can't touch us.
We got no nukes.
Well, we do. I mean, he says we got our own nukes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So a constitutional movement is possible. 22 isn't that far away, but I'm concerned about how the elections will go. And then what do? Yes, sir.
I got a question about, as far as I've heard, you can't have recall in Wyoming. Like, we can't recall the governor. We can't recall Cheney. Is there some way we can get a recall, or is it worth doing?
It's worth doing. We need a recall statute. And for it to pass constitutional muster, all it has to say is we can recall any elected official. That's all it has to say. And then see, nobody's being discriminated against. So how tough is that? It shouldn't be tough.
How do you get a
statute? So why haven't we done this?
We haven't had a legislator that dare bring the bill.
Nobody brave enough to bring it?
All right.
What do you think of the Convention of the States?
Excellent question. It's a great idea, but it's a huge trap. It's a huge trap. And studying the Constitution, Constitution case law and our history, the first convention was actually just to fix the Articles of Confederation, which were so weak the federal government couldn't function at all. And once they got into it, they realized, well, there's nothing here to fix because there's nothing here. And so our founders had studied every form of government since Jesus Christ was here. Every kind of republic, democracy, monarchy, and realized that a republic with limited powers and the citizens are sovereign, the Ninth Amendment tells you that you have unlimited power. They don't all have to be listed in the Constitution and in the amendments. You have unlimited power. And that the federal government has defined and distinct power. And your state government has defined and distinct power. So a convention of states opens all that up. When you read Article 5, which allows that, they say, well, we'll limit the amendments. There's no provision in Article 5 for limiting the amendments. And each state gets one vote. Looking at the country now, how many states would you trust with the Constitution?
South Dakota.
You'd have to take it as, hey, I want a balanced budget amendment and I want term limits. Leave it at that.
You can't leave it at that. See, it's all or none. Article 5 says it's all or none. So we better keep what we've got and try and enforce. See, if we enforce the one we have, we wouldn't be talking about it. And so one hurdle at a time to get enough governors or counties that will enforce the Constitution is our hope to avoid a violent revolution. Because there are enough of us who are not looking for trouble, but who are not going to be pushed into certain areas over certain lines. I mean, there's just no point in it. And so that's what we're facing. I think in our state, and that's why I ran so hard so many times, Wyoming could protect itself and lead other states. We're small enough we can communicate with 500,000 people. And we can protect ourselves. Excellent question. I met Malcolm Wallop in 1984, and I love Malcolm Wallop. He's passed on for this reason. 1984, I'm a young surgeon, and by God, we're having all this trouble with taxes, and we're having all this trouble with indigent care. So I sat down with some other physicians and wrote a program where we would provide all the indigent care, and we would ask to write off that care. And I even set up a system where you can audit. So I'm writing off X amount of dollars of indigent care. You should be able to pull those charts in my office. You should be able to see what I dispensed as care, what I got the hospital to dispense as care. and all of that. And if so, then I get the write-off. If not, I don't. Malcolm took that and went to the IRS to try and hash it out. And he wrote me back and actually called me and says, the IRS thinks this is great. It's actually going to save money, but there's no way we can give a doctor a tax break. And that's what I got back from Malcolm. What did I get back from Alan Simpson and Dick Cheney? We really appreciate your interest in our state and our interest in care. We really wish we could help you, but right now that's just not possible.
Done.
The same letter from both of them.
They say one of them wrote it, the other one Xerox.
Yeah. So that's why I love Malcolm Wallop. And we remained friends his whole life because Malcolm Wallop loved this state and these people. And I know he was connected to the Queen and to royalty, but he was not arrogant and he was not better than us great unwashed. And so we lose somebody like that, don't we?
If I can just add, because sometimes it's awful easy to feel it. You're the last chapter and you're closing in around this. It's not a good horizon to look at. But Malcolm wrote a piece that everybody here might be real interested in reading. Way back to 1984. And it was in some obscure state legislature magazine. I had to dig that up. But he asked the question, what would de Tocqueville think of us today?
You guys know who de Tocqueville is?
But there was hope for something what Malcolm would
right.
At that point. The other thing that's worth knowing, that you know, I hope history writes somebody, hadn't been yet, on his deathbed, he was in a hospital bed. You could look out this big window in the house, the last house they built on the Canyon. Lost the homeless guy. And he could barely speak. But what I asked him what he was proudest of. And he said, President Reagan confused me with Churchill. And what he was saying,
I'm sure,
was that, you know, it took unflinching things to beat the rhinos of that day, the Regans, all the guys who didn't want to call the question of the Soviets. And Malcolm was not one of them. Malcolm knew evil was the Soviets.
Right.
And he said, that's what I was proud of. Was my impulse was to correct, letting go, you know, one blood relation, right? All the repentance. They're all the remainder. But I kept my mouth shut because somehow that helped him kick Russian ass.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a lot of things to look into American history and take solace in.
Take solace in who we are and whose shoulders we stand on. But we have to act. We have to do something. And this gentleman wants to act. But you gotta be organized before we act. Now this community is looking really good to me, and there's a conservative corner in Cheyenne where they're the same kind of people. We need that in every county because I don't know if a vaccine passport or mandate is coming. I know it won't come before the election because Gordon's afraid. He realized that he is colored so far out of the lines that he's vulnerable. And I can tell you he's vulnerable. I haven't filed a run, have I? You guys haven't heard that anywhere, have you? I've had two different rhinos come at me about running against Cheney. And anybody that ever heard me speak when I'm running for Governor Wyoming, that's the job I'll take. I will not leave Wyoming, and I will not be one of 435 people in there clamoring just to be seen. What does that do for Wyoming? Nothing. The governor can stop them at the state line. And that's why I ran for that job. Somebody says, well, they're going to kill you. They might. And I'll be home with the Lord. But I stood up for the right things. I haven't filed a run, and there's no point in me running if the people don't decide they need to draft Taylor Haynes, because the rhinos and the media will use that against us. Oh, he just runs. Never mind my platform. Nobody else will touch it. Nobody else will touch it. Because it's simple. It's about our rights. It's about the Constitution. It's not about me. But in a way it is, it's self-defense. But I can't protect my rights in that way unless I protect everybody using the Constitution and the collective power of the people of the state of Wyoming. So I'm curious as to what's going on in Rhino circles, because they keep coming at me with that.
Let's go to two more questions.
Taylor, do you have some kind of a election fund
No.
people to contribute to?
You can, unless I file.
Unless you file.
And so instead of filing, if you have enough people around the state that want to draft Taylor Haynes, we got time. We got enough name recognition. I can come out after the first, anytime before the filing deadline next summer. But I need enough people out there so that we can win the primary, whether they want to cheat us or not. And then I'll keep my word and I'll do what it is I'm telling you needs to be done. Not because I'm this knight in shining armor, but I want my rights protected. I worked my whole life and I got my boyhood dream, ranching in the mountains in Wyoming. Well now, and here these bastards come and they're going to take it away, tell me I'm a bad guy, I'm destroying the planet. Stop. But I have to stop them for everybody. And that's why I run.
One more?
I think Mr. Mark Gordon has higher aspirations. I think Governor is a second step. It's time we've got a couple of county commissioners here in town acting the same way. What they're doing here is county commissioners are just stepping stones because they've got other political aspirations going.
Right.
I think that's part of the problem with Gordon and here over too. They're not here for the people. They're here for themselves. Most of this is a stepping stone up to where they want to be.
Okay. Well, you know, why don't they just go ahead and run for that?
Yeah.
And leave our state to us country folk? Take care of ourselves, huh? Why don't they just do that? Well, I can tell you, my aspirations are to be free and to die on my ranch in Wyoming as an old man. And the only way to do that, I think, is to try and stop these guys from what they're doing. This Afghanistan thing is a bigger cancer for us than most people know, because it could lose things in this country since they want to bring a bunch of them here unvetted. I stopped Meade from doing that during my 2014 campaign with the Somalis and all of those folks. My folks got out at the county fairs and the state fair, passed out papers and said, we don't want that in Wyoming. And Meade's already asked for it. And he had to back down. Maybe that's why I don't get invited to the Christmas party. Right. Oh, well, you know, I'll always just be one part of the great unwashed. Well, folks, I want to thank you for sitting here and listening to me. And I want you to pray for our state. And you can pray for God's will with what my political career is and for him to show me what my role is, whether it's governor or something else. But I ain't leaving Wyoming.
Woo!
Before we wrap it up, just a couple of quick things. I